That's bumper music right there. Let me tell you. Hey, we had an amazing time. Took 47 guys over to Ohio, and Jamie was really cute. She's like, I don't have the heart to tell you, but we took like 52 ladies. So kind of, you know, the ladies won, whatever. But hey, if you're a lady here this morning, apologies, first and foremost. And second of all, thank you, because you're here. It looks nicer. It smells better. Everything about it's wonderful having you ladies here. So thank you for being here this morning. I want to show you a little clip of just a little snippet of our time together in Ohio. And then we're going to have some sharing for the guys who are part of the retreat. We normally do a lot of sharing here, and I want you to be able to do that for sure. But I especially want to be able to give opportunity for some guys who are on retreat to maybe share some reflections or some thoughts or some maybe just some things with one another and with our congregation here as we reflect on what God did as we went through Ephesians 4. I know you can't see most of that stuff, and God really met with us in some cool ways. But check it out. This, if you didn't get to go, is what you missed. And if you did, shame on you. This is what you did while you were in Ohio. Here we go. No, that's not it. This is it.
I almost had an aneurysm. No matter
how. Oh, good stuff.
You're with me, baby.
You know how to keep 47 guys busy for like 40 minutes? Have them count bubble wrap. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, that was so fun. Well, we had an amazing time, and it wasn't just all a bunch of goofball stuff. We did talk about some important stuff, and Josh has dealt with his anger and done really well this week. It hasn't broken anything, he said. My favorite moments of watching people have that light in their eyes of like, oh my goodness, what just happened? Josh lost it. We're all going to die. It was a beautiful moment on retreat. I'm not going to lie, but it was premeditated, and no chairs were harmed in the making of this film. Just kidding. Chairs were destroyed, but it was your own chair, so that made me feel better about that. Well, it was fun, and we did a lot of laughing, and we did a lot of goofing off, which is what guys do, but we spent a lot of time in Ephesians chapter 4 talking about some really important stuff that God calls us to as men. We walked through a bunch, and I want to share a few thoughts and highlights with you and culminate with perhaps some armament this morning from some help from the kids. But Dax is going to grab that mic real quick, and if you're a guy who went on retreat and you have something to share here this morning with your congregation and giving God praise, I actually kind of redid this acronym and I made it like bros praising, right? That kind of works for the perfect concept. But if you're a guy on retreat, I'd love for you to take just a moment and share a reflection or an insight or something maybe that the Lord spoke to you about, encouraged you in through the course of this weekend, and then we'll go from there. So give you a shot at that.
I just wanted to praise God for this church and Andy and anybody in this team that was part of the making of this, because we got to go there and it was a ton of fun. That matters, because we need to build these relationships within here. I think so many of us have our relationships that we had before we came to this church, and maybe those things, I won't speak too deeply into that, but sometimes they might draw us away from what God calls us to do. I have some of those relationships myself. Well, that silly, goofy games and all that laughing, it matters that we build relationships with the people right here in this church family. And so I just wanted to praise God for that and also be praying for everybody involved in this church, yourself, too, as you contribute, because Andy did an amazing job. And I hope that all you guys are praying for them often, because he set all that up, and it matters. And the things I'm sure he'll discuss here momentarily or whatever he dives into, that we got into the weeds too, but that fun matters. So praise God that we can goof around and build this family.
I should have given Josh the mic. That'd work better. Like, Josh, go scare some guys.
Thank you, Andy. The retreat was awesome. Great opportunity to grow closer with a lot of the men here in the church. For me, I felt like it was speaking to me very direct. Felt like it was setting me up for the next phase coming in my life. I know the church has supported and prayed a lot for me and my wife, and she sharing with the women this weekend. But she did get pregnant from the in vitro. Thank you. And twins or triplets. So
so good luck, man. Good luck.
But we'll find out this week. Anyways, I felt like the retreat really was, you know, setting me up for everything that's to come. Tell me, you know, be a better spiritual leader, not only in my household, but in the church, in the community, at work, wherever I am. Try to lead by example, you know, and have an effect on others. And that's what I plan to do. All this baby stuff is still sinking in. I'm already thinking differently. I'm thinking about how, you know, I grew up with my dad and things we did. It's certainly been a wild week. But I'm so excited to see what all the future holds and what God, you know, has in store for me, my wife, our family, and this church. And who knows, maybe the church will grow by 3 in one night. So, but I had a great time. I love you all. Love this church, and wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, that's me.
I do want to say we learned a lot of great stuff. There's a lot of fantastic stuff that I took away and will help me try to be a better father, a better husband, a better brother, better son. But I also just want to say it was a huge blessing and really awesome, even though I know people kept saying the competitions were rigged like always. But there were 5 Murrays there. It was fantastic. My dad was there. My brother Sam was there. And both of my boys were there. And that's the first time I've had that many of my family members there. So it was fantastic to be with the family of brothers here in the church, but to have that many members of my own family there was just an amazing blessing.
I just want to thank all the men for helping me with healing, you know, with losing Kathy. We had a storybook romance and just hit it head on as far as taking the same cabin that we had during couples retreat. And but just thanks. I mean, the church family's really come around me and my family, and it's good people in here. Thanks.
I'll go ahead and share. Andy kind of also had that last thing in there, says action steps or whatever, and talked about what are steps that we can do to take this home, because it's so easy for us to get really excited on men's retreat and then not do anything afterwards. And so one of the things was talking about having 2 different people who you check in on our like things that we're doing daily. And that's actually been a really cool thing. Having the guys that I've talked to have reached out to me and been like checked in on me and how I'm going. And it's been cool because it's not like we have a set time when it happens. So it's almost, I feel like it's almost using that as a weapon against the enemy, because it's not like there's a set time where the enemy knows that I'm going to be contacted. Like just having that person, even when I don't expect to reach out to me and been like, hey, how's your reading going? Or how's this going in your life? Like, I don't know, it's been really cool for me. And so that's been really awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to get to go again to another men's retreat, you know, and hopefully my sons, you know, will start joining me in this since they're men too, you know, and but it's good for him to get to see the videos and see how much fun we were having and how much, you know, we're tying, you don't see the parts where we're tying God into this, but, you know, it's nice to have the opportunities to talk to some gentlemen at work, you know, that, you know, because we're trying not to contour to things of these world, you know, and they're still with the, it's hard, you know what I mean? And to try not to bite your tongue and this and that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So me as like a foreman at my job, you know, I'm practicing more on the building people up and talking them up and making them better than not only just at the job, you know what I mean, just the opportunities to talk God into them and, you know, and get more in the Word by being challenged to be in the Bible 30 days. You know, Ephesians 4 could be like a rabbit hole, you know, it leads you so many other ways, you know what I mean? So it's nice to get back in the Bible and be accountable, you know, or whatever. It was good to see Josh at work, you know, one day of this week, he was in a different trade or whatnot. But, you know, then I seen him the first day and was like, oh, man, I didn't ask him, did he get in his Bible, you know? Then the next day I got the opportunity to and was like, hey, you know, did you get in there? Did you get it in? And he said, no, he didn't. So, I mean, I felt bad that I didn't say something to him today before. I mean, thanks for everybody that's holding us accountable and for this church, and thanks for all you did this last weekend, Andy, and Dax, and everybody that helped you out. We had a good time. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. You're good, man. I was just enjoying the silence. It was a loud, long weekend, right? Yeah. Well, and if the guys look a little worn out, it could be the case. We brought more bubble wrap today if we need to use it and some stomp rockets. So I figured if it gets really sketchy, man, we'll get it rolling. I did think I was going to say, hey, if you want to come share something, it's like, you know, shooting some truth out. So maybe you should like share something, then hit a stomp rocket into the, you know, congregation. But then I thought, what would Jamie do? WWJD, right? What would Jamie do? And then I thought, uh-oh. Well, it was a really neat time. And I appreciate what you said, Gary, because the truth is that we had a ton of fun, and that's fun to watch on the videos, right? But man, I so loved getting the chance to just talk through Ephesians chapter 4 together. If you caught from the video, we started out the night with passing diapers around to guys, which I love this idea, because how many guys have ever dreamed of going on a men's retreat and having to guess what candy bar was melted in a diaper? You know what I mean? Like nobody. That's what the women get to do on those really, you know, messed up baby shower days, right? But we did that. And so if you saw some pictures of guys throwing diapers at each other, that was legit. And Nate, thank you. I did find the one in my car. I appreciate that. And I knew it was you the minute I found it tucked deep underneath my truck seat. But we talked about this idea of not being babies. And Ephesians 4 touches on this, right? Not being tossed back and forth and ask the guys, like, what do babies do, right? We got stuff like crying and pooping and sleeping and eating and laying around. And Paul makes this case in Ephesians 4 that, like, hey, listen, follower of Jesus, we can't just be laying around crying all the time, belly aching and whining. We've got to stand and mature. We can't just be playing with filth and sitting in our filth. We got to help other people step out of the mess and the junk, right? And we can't just lay around and sleep. We got to be alert. And we got to eat spiritual food that's deep and not just, you know, be spoon-fed Christians. And we responded to that thought a little bit as guys thinking about that on the retreat time. And then we come back home and we face, you know, the onslaught of the heaviness of life. And I was talking with Andrew this weekend. It was interesting to me to just put this dot in my head, kind of connect these dots. But so many times we go on a retreat and, you know, we really like, it's almost like you go away to celebrate. And then you come back, right? And that's really not, I mean, as lame as, I shouldn't say lame, as gifted as our announcement duo team is in bringing up the idea of not retreating but advancing, we didn't go away on a men's retreat so that we could, like, take a victory lap. We went away on a men's retreat to spend some time being strong and building up that strength and building that spiritual muscle so that we could come back and stand in the midst of what we had to stand and carry the next load. You don't work out so that you can go backwards. You work out and you build muscle so you're ready for the next lift, right? And when we go away on a retreat, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking it's sort of a victory lap and we come back home. But man, the enemy is there and he shows up and God calls us to take a step of faith. And all of those things require strength and stamina that he pours into us in that space. And going through, most of the guys in these red shirts are trying to read Ephesians 4 every day for 30 days and just constantly marinate in that truth. And if you fell off of that, man, just jump right back on. Or if you're not in it and you want to be in it and you don't have a red shirt, You don't have to wear a red shirt to read Ephesians 4. Jump on in with us, man. And as a church, just spending time reading through what it looks like to be mature Christians who rise up and impact and love and lead and not just sit back and watch everybody else, right? Instead of being a baby in the world with its futile thinking that's pointless and its darkened thinking that's masked from the light and doesn't see the truth, it's separated from God and it's distant and there's no connection, right? And as it gets more and more and more distant from God, scripture says their hearts become calloused, that they lose all sensitivity. They no longer feel the Holy Spirit speaking, the Holy Spirit prompting, the Holy Spirit convicting, because they're so busy medicating their pain and medicating their separation from God and their distance from God. And they're so calloused of heart, they barely feel, and they give themselves over to extensive depravity and chasing sensual pleasure to try to fix what's hurting and aching and missing in their life. And it's that picture of those who are separated from God because of their sinfulness. And we're told to throw off the old self, to throw it away with passion, to dismiss it with prejudice, that it can't be reinvestigated again, that it is thrown away, right? And we get rid of it and we discard it. And the Bible says that we are to be renewed in the attitude of our mind, that there is a transition that begins to change the way we think, the way we reason, the way we look at the world around us, right? And we put on this new self that is true righteousness, true rightness, following God's way of living and his moral law and his picture of what it looks like to walk in righteousness, and this holiness, this set apartness. If you didn't get a chance, man, if you didn't get a chance because you're on retreat or you just didn't catch it, please do yourself a favor and go back and check out what Chris shared last Sunday here on our YouTube channel. What an incredible picture of just the apprenticeship with Jesus, the idea of just spending time with him, marinating in him as he begins to transition our minds from the things of this world to having a perspective that totally shifts and changes because of that relationship through Jesus. And we become people who are different. We talked about being truth merchants, that God has called us to be people who deal in truth externally with those around us, but also internally with ourselves. We don't live with deceit. We don't deal in deceit and deception. We walk uprightly before God and before others and even before ourselves. We're not playing some deception game. And we deal with our anger in the right ways. We don't let the devil get a foothold by going to bed angry or letting bitterness take root. We deal correctly and in a healthy way with the anger that we experience in this crazy life. And it shows up, man. It does. It doesn't say, don't get angry. It says, in your anger, do not sin. And we talked about the toxicity of letting that anger really sink into our hearts. And contributing. This is an awesome passage in Ephesians that says, those of you who are stealing must steal no longer and instead do something useful with your hands so you can contribute to those in need. And it's a fascinating picture because some people will try to tell you, well, obviously the church in Ephesus was filled with criminals. It must have been a prison colony where they were starting a church. But that's not the case. It was just regular old people who were part of the body of Christ. And Paul accuses them of stealing from the community of faith because they're not contributing. They're not serving one another to build one another up. And there's more than just putting some money in an offering plate. And there's more than just showing up and staring. There's actually bringing the gifts and talents and abilities and just the heart to say, God, how can I help enrich your kingdom? How can I serve and help make a difference? How can I use what fishes and loaves I have to try to do something to contribute to the needs of others? That's why we referenced it in the announcement time, right? Like Tom could use help in the children's ministry. Dax could use more people who will invest in our teenagers. Nate needs more guys who will jump in, and some ladies too, if you're mean enough, to be on our safety team, to just help keep an eye out and be a protective, you know, visual and communication team around our facility. We need more people who will help and contribute. Those are simple ways that we can not steal from the community of faith together, but contribute. So make sure, guys talked about that this weekend, like, hey, I need to do something. Well, don't wait to do something. Do something today. Catch one of those guys, talk to them about how you can plug in to contribute more to the needs of the body of Christ and how you can enrich the community and build each other up in love. And we use control over our tongues and what we say. I love what you said, Gary, building others up. Sometimes we're so busy saying, don't. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop doing this. I need to stop doing. Well, just maybe we ought to flip that and just be like, do. It's not a reference to the diaper situation, right? Do. What does God want us to do? He wants us to use our speech to build others up, our words to encourage and to strengthen and not let wholesome stuff come out. Sure. But how about we focus on what the, you know, stuff should look like that comes out, that builds others up, that encourages, that inspires, right? That puts courage into the people around us. And then I love that Paul kind of wraps up these thoughts with this getting rid of in the area of anger. And I feel like Paul's writing to all the guys in Ephesus. Maybe you ladies struggle with this, but as guys, that anger stuff is so consistent in our life. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, malice. Bitterness, which is just the little tiny seeds of resentment that we hold on to, that we're still processing, that we're not sure how we feel about, and we need to kind of pray through. We're supposed to just get rid of that stuff, to just discard bitterness, because it grows, right? And he would contrast that from bitterness to rage, this uncontrollable anger, where we've given free license to just lose it, right? Rage monster, I think, is a good phrase for that, right? And then he says brawling and slander. Brawling is just the physical actions of anger, right? Where we're willing to do something physical. Or slander, which is the verbal action, or the verbal lived out anger just spewing forth from our lips to the people around us. And then it results in this malice thing that's a heart condition. Getting rid of malice, this heart condition that's, I want people to suffer. I want people in pain because I'm so angry. And I find comfort and I find pleasure knowing that other people are hurting too. Man, that's not the heart of our God. And that shouldn't be the heart of his people. We got to get rid of all of those things. And very simply, he says, we need to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving, just as Christ has forgiven us. What is that? It's just love. And love is so much more powerful than hate and anger. It's toxic, it's destructive, and God says to discard those things. It's what we challenged the guys to this weekend, to really look at these things and really man up, man, stand up, rise up, be mature men in the faith, to be mature women in the faith. God has called us to that. It's not that we don't have moments where we're sad. It doesn't mean we always get it perfect. The perfect thing is not about perfection. Paul says, I aim for perfection, right? I haven't attained it. I'm still pressing on, but we're pursuing this desire to be more and more like Jesus. And what I love about what Chris shared on Sunday, man, it was so, so good. What he shared about Sunday was this amazing invitation into the apprenticeship of Jesus, to be invited in relationship, to just grow out of who you are deeper with Jesus moment by moment, right? Day after day. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, the very next thing that follows all of this, it says this: be imitators, therefore, of your heavenly Father. Be imitators of God. What a picture. Could say, be apprentices of God. This whole call is an invitation to walk in relationship with Jesus, away from the childish things of life, putting to death and putting away all the junk, discarding it, destroying all the stuff that was a former way of thinking, stepping into the newness of life, having our minds and our hearts transformed by being an apprentice of Jesus, being an imitator of God in the daily efforts of growing closer and just walking with him, watching him transform us into somebody who looks like the second half of Ephesians, right? And all the good and the beautiful, the impactful, the uplifting, all those pieces that come. And what's cool is, if you go to the very end of the book, the very, very end of the book of Ephesians, the letter that was written to the church at Ephesus, you'll see a section that we call the armor of God. And all of these pieces, right, all of these truths keep bringing us to a place where Paul invites us into the battle to stand. And he says to put on the belt of truth, right? He says you're going to face all kinds of trouble. You're going to face all kinds of adversity. You're going to wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but you're going to wrestle against principalities. You're going to wrestle against all the work that the enemy's trying to do against you. And what you're going to need to do is you're going to need so that you can take your stand and so that you can stand firm, you're going to need to put on the belt of truth. And in the Roman world, that belt of truth, man, that held everything together. All the different pieces of the armor attached to that belt, right? And truth becomes the foundational component of how we do life. Truth externally and internally, being truth merchants, living in the truth, not in lies and deceptions, right? But knowing the truth, believing the truth, walking in the truth, living in the truth. That's what God calls us to. And then this breastplate of righteousness, right, that guards our heart in Christ Jesus, that our hearts get transformed instead of chasing the things of this world and all the stuff that the pagan world chases after because it's calloused and hard and it's just not listening and sensitive. Instead, our hearts are sensitive to God and there's righteousness that touches right at a heart level, right? And in our minds, we're guarded with the helmet of salvation, the knowledge, right? That God would guard our hearts and minds in the truth and the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ, that we've been transformed and different because of what he has done for us. And then I was thinking about this gospel shoes of peace thing, how it ties in here. Because we did have a few moments on our men's retreat where we talked about driving. And I was wrongfully accused of cutting someone off. I don't want to bring that up, Ryan. But, in traffic one time, it was a total misunderstanding, or it was a really bad moment, either way. But sometimes in this life, man, we get going and we're just forceful and we get a little bit, I don't know, which one is it? Is driving rage or brawling? I'm not sure how I drive, and I'm glad Jed's helping next door with the kids, so he can't answer that. But it's an area God's still working on me, right? I'm not perfect. I'm being refined and made into his image as a better driver. But it was interesting to me to think about the gospel shoes of peace, because that one's always a weird one for the armor of God, the gospel shoes of peace. And you know, I was thinking about this as it relates to all of these things from chapter 4. And you know, your shoes are really associated with your steps, and your steps are really associated with pace. And I was thinking about this phrase, the pace of peace. That's an interesting picture in my life, the pace of peace. Are you moving at a pace of peace, or are you just pushing and shoving and driving and going and thoughtless and mindless of the people around you and what's happening? But man, I was thinking about the armor of God and that pace of peace. And something I want to try to do in my own life is think about slipping on peace as my, you know, my Skechers slip-ins, that I'm walking in peace, but more so I'm walking in the pace of peace so that I'm not getting ahead and I'm not letting anger get in the way, or I'm not getting, you know, just irritated or even little bits of, you know, agitation. Instead, just pace of peace, truth, righteousness, salvation, the pace of peace, how we move and walk. And then it says, take up the shield of faith with which we extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith that guards and protects us against every single attack. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. And it's cool because it says it extinguishes, right? Every time the devil throws a lie or a deception, we're truth merchants and we hold up the truth of God, our faith in what he has said, and it extinguishes the lie of the enemy. It doesn't just knock it down and let it keep burning around us. It extinguishes the flaming arrow that comes, and it just puts it to death, right? And then the last thing scripture says is, well, something the kids are going to help me with. Right, Derek? Sorry, you playing Angry Birds? Sorry. Oh, we still waiting? Oh, cool, yeah. Well, that was my my cue. That's right, man. You're busy texting people. I understand. Come on up here, guys. Wait. I wasn't supposed to get hit, Tom. What kind of deal is this? I was. Was that part of the plan? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, this is how I saw it all coming together right here. This is it. All right, you guys better all wave at your moms and dads. Wave at your moms and dads so they all see you. Better go back that direction. All right. Thank you. See why we need help in children's ministry, guys. Come on. I mean, is it? Thank you, guys. Nice done. You know, Tom, I should have saw that coming, buddy. Hey, can we just say this real quick? That there are not enough moms on site today to have told us that was a bad idea, okay? We're just owning that right there. There were three or four of us dads next door who were like, you know what? We could end with the kids charging with swords. And not one of us thought, that's probably a bad idea. So Jamie, if you're watching online, we need you, baby. Oh, man. Whew. Hey, kids, thank you. The sword of the Spirit, which the Bible says is the word of God, with which we attack all the lies of the enemy. And kids, thank you for attacking me as a great illustration of attacking all the lies and the deception that the enemy throws at us. God's word is powerful. The call to righteousness, the call to walking in truth, man, it's awesome. And it's fun to be a family here who's striving to live these things out. Jed, was that your idea? Did you say, go hit my dad with a sword? Be honest. Uh-huh, I see that nod. Hey, I love you guys. Thank you for enjoying a little craziness as we unpack what happened this weekend. And the ladies that are coming back, please be praying for them that God would speak powerfully and really impact them over this time together and give them a safe return trip. We're going to close in prayer. And then, unfortunately, because this is all recorded online, our wives will find out. But if you want to keep it on the down low, that'd be great too. Love all you guys and so thankful for the time this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for kids and the joy and excitement and fun of getting to be a kid. Thank you for a crazy church where you can run in here with swords and Jesus still loves you. How awesome. Let the little children come unto me. Love these guys and so thankful for the privilege of getting to love on kids in Jesus' name. Thank you for the men who are on retreat. Thank you for the men who are part of this congregation. Thank you for the call to step into maturity and spiritual ways and, Lord, to put to death all the junk and to walk in righteousness. Father, I pray we'd be imitators of you who apprentice and who reach in relationship to experience just a little bit more of your heart that it might become ours. And Father, I pray you'd be with the women who are returning from the retreat, be with all the ladies who are part of our congregation. Thank you for what they bring to this family. And Lord, thank you for their heart for you. And Father, I pray that as a whole family, Lord, men, women, children, teenagers, God, that we would honor you and that we would walk faithfully in the steps of what you've called the church in Ephesus or in Ephesus to and what you call us to today. And Father, I pray you give us an incredible reunion with family this afternoon and just great days ahead as we charge quite literally towards what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.